Well, good morning, everyone. If you came this morning expecting to hear Pastor Dennis preach, I apologize. But he deserves this day off, doesn't he, to be refreshed and renewed. And so we're just going to pray that he will be blessed by God today and that he will be restored. And I know 2026 is going to be a great year for us here at Faith Church. And just lift him and his whole family up in prayer. And I know they would certainly appreciate that. Today, I'm going to be talking on the subject of the contrasts of Christmas. The contrasts of Christmas. And before we do, I just want to say another prayer. I know we just prayed, but let's just pray one more time. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit now will just open our hearts to understand what you want us to hear today from your word and from the story of the birth of your son, Jesus. I pray that you would give us all the spiritual ears to hear and to understand, and to, may you apply it to each of our hearts, this message that you want us to comprehend. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to imagine, just for a moment, that it's a time of great rejoicing in some royal palace somewhere, okay? And people are rejoicing because a new baby prince has just been born. Right near the throne, there is a lively discussion going on among all the king's advisors, and they are trying to decide the best way to announce the wonderful news of this birth. Now, they've suggested some elaborate ways that they could publicize and celebrate this great event. A royal baby, after all, was born. All but one have expressed their opinions. And now, the king turns to him, this one hasn't said anything yet, and asks him, "Well, how about you? Do you have any ideas? What do you suggest?" "Well," came the reply, "I think that we should send a messenger out at night into the fields and to tell some shepherds about it." At that, everyone laughed and they scoffed at this crazy idea. What a ridiculous idea, right? And yet, that is the way that God himself chose to announce the birth of his son, Jesus. God's ways are certainly not our ways, are they? Now, I want us to hear a couple passages of Scripture this morning. Now, this first one, we've already had read here at the church a couple times this season so far, but we're going to hear it one more time. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. Luke 2, 8 to 15, you know this passage very well. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" You know, somehow I think when we hear about shepherds coming to the manger and seeing the baby Jesus, this Christ child, it makes us feel warm inside, doesn't it? After all, shepherds were proven to be important to God. And we know that we are important to God also. God loves common and ordinary people like shepherds and common and ordinary people like us. He loves us very much. Now, let's read the other account that you probably know about, pretty familiar with. It's out of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. You know this passage as well, probably. Maybe not quite as well as the previous one, but this is part of the Christmas story also. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, we know them better known as maybe the wise men, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So this story, I think, of the wise men is also a story of love, a story of worship and adoration. These men represented, after all, the aristocracy of the time. They were the rich. They were the educated. They were the learned. And this tells us that they are valuable to God as well, not just the shepherds, but everybody. Whenever we think of the shepherds and the wise men, we invariably see scenes of love, joy, and worship. But when we think of the other character that we read about in this story this morning, King Herod, the illegitimate king of the Jews, we see nothing but darkness, hatred, and death. Because later on in verse 16, we read this terrible statement. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. Why is it, do you think, that some people are filled with love and happiness at the thought of Jesus, while others remain filled with darkness and despair? I think we can answer this as we look to the shepherds and the wise men and Herod by looking at these people again. I think Christmas can even mean more to us. First thing I think we see is this: God can work with people who are prepared to receive his message. The shepherds, they were prepared to receive God's message of sacrifice. I think that God chose to announce to the shepherds and the wise men the wonderful news of the coming of Jesus because they were prepared for that event. Somehow, the soil of their souls had been plowed and made ready for the planting of that glorious, incredible news. After all, who would have understood better the idea of sacrifice than the shepherds. Bethlehem, you got to understand, is only a few miles from the city of Jerusalem where the temple was located, separated only by some hills on which shepherds would shepherd their flocks of sheep. And history tells us that many of these sheep that were raised on these hills were raised specifically to be used as sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. You see, once a year, every Jewish family was supposed to come to Jerusalem and offer sacrifices in the temple for their sins. And the animal that they sacrificed was generally a lamb. Now, they didn't usually bring a sacrificial lamb along with them on their long journey from their homes. Instead, they waited until they got to Jerusalem, and then they bought a lamb there to be used as a sacrifice. So these shepherds, they knew all about sacrifice. They spent their lives on the hills outside of Bethlehem, watching little lambs being born, watching them grow to maturity, and then realizing that someday they would be bought to offer as sacrifices for the sins of the people. They realized that sin was so awful in God's sight that it required the shedding of blood and the giving of life, a sacrifice. So, how appropriate then that these shepherds should be the first to hear about the Lamb of God, who would be the Savior, Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. They were ready for that. Their minds, they were uncomplicated. They were probably not great theologians. They didn't spend all their time thinking up reasons why not to believe. They just believed. Their hearts and souls were ready. So when God spoke through angels, they listened and they accepted the news with great joy. Now, the wise men, or the magi, they also were prepared. They were prepared to accept God's message that a king had been born. You see, we see that these wise men were prepared also. Evidently, in their great learning in that faraway land that they came from, they had studied the great prophets of Israel. Undoubtedly, they came from the area where Daniel, the prophet, had had such great influence and power. In other words, most scholars believe they came from Persia, which is in where modern-day Iran is. But somehow their hearts had been stirred by God's word. And they were waiting and hoping. So when they saw that bright light, that shining star, they knew that that meant something special. They were probably, most people believe, astrologers or ancient astronomers who believed that the stars could reveal special signs to the world. And they recalled all of the things that they had learned, and they were ready to make their journey because they knew the star meant that somewhere a king had been born, and they wanted to worship him. They were prepared, and they were ready for Christmas. But sadly, in contrast to the shepherds and the wise men, King Herod, he refused to accept God's message. Herod wasn't ready. Have you ever wondered why Herod didn't see the star? Why didn't Herod see that star? Why didn't he hear the chorus of the angels announcing the birth of Jesus? He was only a few miles away in Jerusalem. Why didn't he see the heavens lit up on the night of Jesus' birth? He could have seen, he could have heard, but he didn't have eyes to see or ears to hear. Christmas came to Herod as surely as it came to the wise men and the shepherds. But Herod didn't know about it because Herod was not prepared. And that could be the way it is with any of us. If we are people who resist him, if we ignore what God has done through Jesus Christ, then when Christmas came on December 25th, as it always does, it would have meant almost nothing to us because our hearts would have been cold and insensitive to what God is trying to do in our lives. You know, Christmas is now a day that is celebrated around the world, even in countries with very little practicing Christianity. I read an article recently about how the Chinese in mainland China, how they celebrate Christmas, and they do. A lot of it, it's becoming much more popular than it ever was before. And you know how they do it? They do it with Santa Claus, with Christmas trees, with gift giving, holiday meals. And they've even taken a lot of our holiday Christmas songs and they've translated them into Chinese. And one of their favorites, I understand, is Jingle Bells. Now, I would love to hear that in Chinese, wouldn't you? All those things they have learned from our popular culture. But except for the very few Chinese who are Christians, the real meaning of Christmas is unknown to them. Jesus is a complete stranger to them. How sad for them. But it is just as sad for anyone who leaves Jesus out of Christmas and out of their lives. Christmas came this past Thursday and has now gone. But when it came, were you prepared for it? Was your heart soft for it? Were your ears sensitive? Could you hear God telling you of his great love for you? The reality is, there is only one way we can ever respond to God's love for us in the way that he wants us to respond. We must be willing to take a journey of faith to see Jesus. The shepherds, for example. The shepherds responded to the message of Jesus by leaving their fields for Bethlehem. Shortly after the angels went back into heaven, they said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." They did not question the message of God. They just rushed to Bethlehem to see the baby. They believed the message, and it became a journey of faith for them. Now the wise men, well, they responded to the message of Jesus by starting on a long journey following a star. Have you ever put yourself in their place? Just think of them, maybe standing out in their front yards, getting their camels ready for the long journey. They're loading up their saddlebags with food and clothing, along with the gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then some neighbors walk by and see these guys doing all these things. And the neighbors say, "Hey guys, what are you doing?" And the wise men reply, "Well, we're getting ready to take a trip." "Well, where are you going?" "Well, we're not sure." "Well, do you have a map?" "No, we're going to follow a star." "Well, what are you going to do when you get there?" "Well, we're going to find a king." "Well, what's the king's name?" "Oh, we don't know. All we know is that we have seen his star, and we are going to follow it until it leads us to him, and then we are going to worship him." You see, it was all a journey of faith for them, all a journey of faith. And faith doesn't usually make sense to people who don't know the message and who don't share the faith. It was a journey of faith, and faith can only really be explained by a heart that understands what faith is all about. But in contrast, King Herod refused to take even a small step of faith towards Jesus. For him, there was no faith. He heard the message about Jesus and was troubled by it. So he inquired of his experts and found out that the Messiah king would be born in Bethlehem, just a few miles away. But Herod didn't have the eyes of faith or a heart that believed. He was too concerned about his own position. After all, if there was a real true king of Israel that had just been born, his throne might be in trouble. He was not ready to receive Jesus because he had no faith. He wanted to stay on the throne of his life, and he didn't want to give that control of his life over to anybody else, including Jesus. And that is the problem, isn't it? There is a whole lot that cannot be explained. You cannot explain a virgin birth. You can't explain the heavens lighting up and angels announcing the birth of a king. You can't explain a mysterious star shining above. You can't explain all of the drama and the glory and wonder that surrounded the birth of Jesus. It's because it's divine. It can only be understood with a heart and a mind of faith. Therefore, before any Christmas will ever be real to us, our journey must be a journey of faith as well. We may never completely understand the wonder of God's love, but in faith we must be ready to accept it. And finally this morning, to find Jesus, we need to be willing to pay a price and make a sacrifice. The shepherds had to leave everything they owned unattended in order to see Jesus. You know, it was a major decision for those shepherds to go to Bethlehem. They had to leave their sheep. Everything they owned was tied up in those sheep. And it was night. Anything could have happened to those sheep. Wild animals could have come in among the flock and eaten them. Thieves could have come in and stolen them. Anything could have happened. So it took faith for them to leave all that and go to Bethlehem. They had to entrust their flock to the good shepherd to take care of them. They were willing to put everything in God's hands. And in a similar way, the wise men, they endured an arduous journey in search of Jesus. They left behind families, friends, their livelihood, everything dear to them, all to follow a star, just to pay homage to a new king. They ran the risk of looking like fools if that trip of theirs didn't pan out. But they moved out by faith and were willing to pay that price. But very sadly for him, Herod was unwilling to give anything up for Jesus. Hearing about the birth of the new king led Herod to rush to his throne and put his arms around it, holding onto it for dear life, metaphorically. I could just see him like, no one's going to take this throne from me, right? I'm the king. No new king's coming along to take that. You know, he was personally threatened by the message of Jesus. He wasn't willing to give up his throne for belief. And that's because he liked too much the power and the prestige and the wealth that it brought him. But the reality is that Christmas has always meant surrender. It means that the sovereign God of heaven looked down and saw us dying in our sins. You and I, all of us, he saw us. And he said to himself, I can't let this go on. I must do something about it. So the Heavenly Father allowed his one and only Son, Jesus, to surrender his glory and power. He became a baby. He walked on this earth among us. He breathed our dust. And around 33 years after his birth, he let us persecute him and spit on him and drive nails into his hands and to his feet, all to become our Savior. That's a sacrifice. That's surrender. Christmas certainly means giving, but it should mean the giving up of ourselves to God in complete surrender to Him. You know, today, I believe God wants to take all those who may be Herods and make them into shepherds and wise men. But that can only happen when we are willing for it to happen. When we are prepared to receive his message. When we are willing to take the journey of faith. When we are willing to surrender our all to him. When we do so, we will receive God's mercy, his grace, and forgiveness. And then fully appreciate, maybe for the very first time, what Christmas is really all about. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray right now for any individual in this room who may not have ever put their faith in you, never taken that journey of faith to trust in you as their Savior and the one who has made a sacrifice for their sins. Maybe any individual in this room who Christmas has come and go year after year and it just means the surface level things that our society says it means, but they don't really understand the significance of the sovereign God allowing his own Son to take on the form of human form in this and born in a manger, born in this world so that he could live a life of ministry and then a life of sacrifice, voluntarily going to a cross and dying on that cross to pay the price for our sins and to be able to set us free and give us the hope of eternal life. If there's anyone like that here this day, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, that you would draw them to yourself, and Lord, help them to see that they can accept this message. They can receive it. They can be shepherds. They can be wise men. They can follow you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.